your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. This is George Butler. We're going to have some contemporary news updates here for this first hour. And our first one is Zach calling in from Morocco on the Alex Jones Show. And Zach is quite a former intelligence agent. He's well thought of. We don't have his real name yet, but that will be forthcoming soon. I think that he and Alex have agreed to out his full identity later. But this, listen carefully to some of this. He has very, very good insight to a number of different dynamics out there. So listen carefully, and then we'll make some comments at the end.
We're going to Zach right now from Morocco. But this is a big, 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 big deal. And they're making their move. And if the media and the people that support free speech don't rally around the First Amendment and sit back and go, oh, well, we've defined our competition as fake news. Now let's deplatform them. Let's take their sponsors. Let's sue them. Let's have Google ban them. It will shut everything down and the dominoes will begin to fall. Just like Google has banned all cryptocurrency ads, one day later, $60+ billion drop. Now let's go to Zach again, a great intel source. I know his full name, know who he is. He's been on national TV. He's been in national papers for his work. He's been given commendations. He's exposed the government protecting radical Islamists before. The government, the FBI all know who Zach is. But Zach, why haven't you decided to give your full name and stuff just to everybody? Because the government and the globalists, everybody else, when the FBI has come and picked you up for stuff you said on the show and taking you back to the military base, to be, you know, shoot out by the other officers, to be threatened, even though they support what you do, I know, overall, but they have to go through the motions. Why not just say who you are soon?
Yes, I mean, that'll be coming very soon, actually, and we could discuss that, maybe even do that reveal there in Austin, Texas. That'd be great. Just in the interim, working with some private groups and doing some think tank engineering, it's sort of best for security reasons and some sort of operational things I have going on. But the reveal and full disclosure, I guess you know who I am, people know who I am, but can become public very soon, and hope to do that with you.
Thank you. I'd love to do it. I'd love to fly you here. I'd love to have you in the studio. And folks I talk to at the Pentagon say you're a great patriot. Before we even started having you on more, we obviously checked into you and found out who you were and then asked you, and you obviously confirmed all that. Zach, where are we right now with this Seth Rich situation? Was my analysis earlier pretty accurate?
Sure, and we have a lot of dots connect, and that's definitely one we're going to get into. It's my opinion. This is the intel and the sort of best thinking on this. We believe that Seth Rich's mother wanting to silence and stop the investigations into her son's murder may be threat based to her and her family. You see, Seth Rich was assassinated for being a patriot. He was clipped by the deep state and far left factions for obvious reasons. And, they use MS-13 assassins to do their dirty work, which consists of political assassinations, threat blackmail stateside, as well as gun and weapon running.
And that's why Trump has called out MS-13, because that is now confirmed the arm of the Democratic Party.
Absolutely. So in his speech, this is exactly what I'm going to get into. His speech at Miramar, at the air station there in San Diego, he used the term specifically protecting the homeland. And this is in conjunction with the MS-13 information, which ties in with Seth Rich, because he was assassinated. The thinking is, we believe, that it was an MS-13 assassin team, which does a lot of the deep state's dirty work there, not only running guns, running weapons, doing drug operations and money laundering. Yes, they are committing political assassinations here stateside.
And our sources said this 3 years ago, but they They've even caught them now in the Middle East shipping guns to ISIS. You said this 6 months ago. It's now come out that the Kurds are communist and are training with Antifa in the Middle East. That's now mainstream news.
Absolutely. And with the executive order signed by Trump putting our country into a state of emergency, these individuals obviously become enemy combatants. So we're not going to have ICE and the Border Patrol have our plans tipped off and foiled. We're going to go in with Marines, with DOD, and round these individuals up, as well as other enemy combatants, as was going on in Phoenix, Arizona about a week ago. They had urban military training in Phoenix, Arizona, there in the streets in Phoenix, and people, you know, were worried about it, thinking what's going on here. This is what's going to happen with the executive order being signed. This is all legal and on the up and up. These people are enemy combatants, and make no mistake, it doesn't matter if they're foreign or domestic. They're aiding and abetting terrorists. They're committing political assassinations here stateside, and Trump is going to utilize the military to the fullest of his legal capacity with his executive
order. Well, I was told by other sources a year ago that Trump took the gloves off with the Mexican Mafia, MS-13, all of it, and that they were just being wiped out already.
Oh yeah, it's come a long way, but the mainstream gangs and the MS-13 factions, yeah, they're doing that. They're doing a great job of that, but there's deeper sections that operate under the MS-13 umbrella that are essentially foreign intelligence agencies is what they are, and they're being used in a political capacity, and it's way out of control. That's why Trump's continued to use the MS-13 name specifically out of.
And by the way, stay there. If anybody doubts this, I know some folks in the 70s and 80s with big crime problems in Chicago, that the army teams were used to wipe out a bunch of folks in Chicago. So that what we're getting into is something the public doesn't know about, but does go on. All right, Zach, stay right there. Zach is giving us information with InfoWars.com. He's saying some of these Marine operations on the ground are not just drills, but our covers for wiping out MS-13. That's why the Democrats are so upset, giving them sanctuary in places like Oakland and telling them to resist, because this is sedition by foreign powers. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're going to get back to Zach, our incredible intel source, and the fact that Fox News is being sued for questioning a open public murder investigation. It's just crazy. The Democrats do not want this to be investigated. The family first had a big reward out. We're saying they were concerned about foul play, concerned about, the Democrats, all of it. You got Debbie Wasserman Schultz acting very suspicious about the laptops. You got the Iwan brothers, all of that now being deep-sixed. And I know what Zach's saying from my own sources is exactly what's going on. You've seen the civil war in Mexico that's killed over 200,000 people, it's estimated now. Well, that's spilt over in the U.S., and Trump said this game of Obama and the globalist arming all these gangs and destabilizing things, he said, it's over. Tell them surrender or they're going to have to deal with it. And the word is MS-13, all these groups are fighting and they're just getting knocked down. And so reportedly they're being stacked up like cordwood. I mean, this is a major covert war going on in the U.S. And the Democrats know, these mayors and governors saying, ICE is coming. Resist, resist. This is sedition. And the globalists use criminal gangs worldwide for their operations. So we'll talk to Zach again in a moment. Recap what you said is happening right now, tied into Seth Rich, and then all the other things that are going on. I know you want to talk about Trump's been hinting at releasing more of the disruptive technology, the globalists call it, more of the stuff that could cause a whole new boom that makes the dot-coms look like a joke, more NASA info. Zach, our great intel source, please continue.
Yes, so, you know, we have so many stories breaking right now that all kind of interconnect. But yeah, the Seth Rich information kind of ties in with this next point, which is the diplomatic flanking maneuvering. You know, the firing and hiring of the Secretary of State and CIA director in recent days are of the utmost importance. This, in conjunction with the chain of command shakeup at Guantanamo Bay, will be an incredible diplomatic and military flanking maneuver to tighten the noose for this geopolitical precision decapitation of the rogue deep state actors and enemy combatants. They have been sabotaging our safety and prosperity for years, and, you know, this is critical. So there's a lot of criticism of Gina Haspel's the nomination to head up the CIA because of her following the orders of past administrations. But the reality, of course, is very different, and Trump knows this and has her vetted. You know, having an upper-middle management individual who knows all the ongoing plans and players of the past administrations and wants to see change and be a part of
it's
an
critical.
American first CIA. And absolutely is the ideal person. So, and also having Pompeo there at the State Department is incredible. These two in conjunction with the Guantanamo Bay shakeup, will flank and really tighten the noose on these people, and it's happening along and all along the planet. It's going to happen, and this is unprecedented. It, you know, we said on the show last year, first year salvage, second year savage. This is occurring. And Rex Tillerson's speech there, his farewell speech, very eerie, very cryptic, the first half of it, very bizarre in certain respects. You know, he learned of this information while in Kenya. And, you know, he knew it was coming for a long time. But Trump is pretty savvy in what he's doing. And, he put him out there, got out of him as much as we could and really saw where people, you know, laid there. But Tillerson had nothing to do with North Korea, wasn't happy about the North Korea information, but was working on some other fronts to include Iran, which Trump is not happy with. But now that he's got Tillerson out of there, now that he has the CIA head that he wants eventually to be in there, this is going to flank them. We're going to close in on them, and they're done here. And the world wants to see it as well. You know, this for the first time, for decades, we have a pure chance here at global cooperation and possibly peace. This is unprecedented, and it's going to occur. And it starts at the homeland. That speech at Myanmar at the air station to thousands of Marines was critical. He laid it all out. He's been doing it for months and months and months. And he did. He could have come out in the first couple months and do this, but he did it in a more savvy and strategic way, where he allowed some individuals with connections from past administrations to really show their true colors and really ferret out what the issues were. Now he knows where people lie, absolutely, and he's putting the people in there.
So you're saying he had to let their stay behind network operate so they could spy on that and then understand how to pull the whole thing down.
Absolutely. Just absolutely surveil them, give them a false sense of security that they're, you know, going to still be working a part of it. But he knows exactly what's going on. That's why Tillerson, while in Kenya, you know, unexpectedly gets fired as the North Korea information is, you know, brought forward. And Iran will be next. The Iran information will be next. We spoke about it about, I think it was 3 or 4 months ago when Ted Malik was on. I said, look, the Iran shakeup will be next, and it will not be kinetic. As the North Korea stuff, as the North Korea stuff is going on, when the CIA deep state backed factions aren't double crossing and sabotaging us here in the States, and as well as, you know, our foreign allies and even enemies, it makes things a lot easier. You know, world peace and, you know, cooperation becomes unobtainable when you have all this double crossing.
And exactly, they want a strategy of tension and global chaos so they can be in control. People ask, why is the economy coming back so easy? Why is Trump able to get all these deals with Saudi Arabia and Israel and everybody else and North Korea so quickly? And it's because it's straight dealing now.
Absolutely. It's all occurring. And, you know, the far left faction in it are absolutely freaking out, and you're going to see a lot more false flags. Obvious, they have not stopped since the political assassinations of character that you're experiencing, and, you know, several other patriots.
Yeah, what do you make of this temper tantrum? I'm told that they're having all their networks cut off, not just by you, but other high level confirmed sources. They say this is a temper tantrum.
Yeah, they're losing it. The financing's gone. The DNC has no money to begin with. But even their covert funding that they've been running on for a long time is all sucked up. It's out of Saudi Arabia. The deep state's out of there. Their only hope here is China, and China's, you know, has no loyalty to them. Truly, they just want power and sort of projected power. So, you know, Trump's strong. He's present, and their money's drying up, and they're realizing that they've picked their sides, and they've really, really picked the wrong side here.
Oh yeah, I went. I saw Annihilation with my wife last night, and of course, a Chinese guy is the boss. And my sister's Korean. I'm going to guess Asians. Every Hollywood movie now, China saves us, you know, from the Martian to all these movies. You can see that Hollywood's been taken over by China and the Chinese government programming in the movies, and they admit they're doing that. But from Arrival to this new movie, Annihilation, it's just like. The programming is incredible. We'll be right back in 2 minutes with Zach. Please spread the word. He's actually a public figure. He's been in major news articles, been in national television as a patriot, decorated individual that works in other clandestine areas, not Army Special Operations now. And he comes on the show, and just the info he gives us is right lined up with my other sources and what they say is going on. So you were continuing. This is a short segment, a little bit longer segment coming up with this total war we're in. And the left is getting more shrill, more panic, more crazy. But suddenly I've seen some of them, the Joy Behars, Hillary Clinton's former campaign manager, they're all coming out saying, okay, we're sorry, Hillary needs to go away, maybe Trump's not that bad. I'm starting to see them realize that they've lost.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the more they start picking at it, they're going to, if they really want investigations, they better be careful, you know, what they're wishing for, because they're going to get it. And it's really going to uncover what's really been done here. So now you see them, a lot of the deep state actors in the far left, they're really playing this Russian card real hard. And we just got to be clear here. We cannot blame the entire Russian Federation for the actions of rogue deep state actors who happen to be Russian. But make no mistake, they're being ran by the same deep state that sabotages our country, that attacks our country just like anywhere else.
Explain to people that Russia is infiltrated by the same globalists we are, and to claim that, oh, it's coming from IP addresses in Russia, I mean, that's the easiest way to frame somebody ever.
Absolutely. I mean, these are pretty murky and difficult waters to decipher. But, you know, yeah, technically they are Russian. But they're deep state actors. They're enemies of the Russian Federation. So you can't just tie somebody's name to it and, you know, blame an entire...
Well, that's like Russian bots sending Michael Moore to a demonstration anti-Trump. Most of it's anti-Trump.
It's real dangerous. And, you know, especially with this, they're expelling their... them in the UK, they're having some real issues here, and Trump's kind of signing on to it. But I got a feeling that Trump and Putin have communicated quite well, and he's really letting, you know, everyone see what's going on here.
So you think this is for public consumption, so that the globalists can't push this Russian narrative?
Yeah, there's no question. This happens right when Tillerson's about to leave, right when the CIA gets the shakeup, there. And
so Trump's, you know, neutralizing his flank.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Tillerson telling people to remain at their posts in that farewell speech is very bizarre, and it needs to be looked into. And, of course, a lot of people are looking into it. But, you know, Russia here is fighting a war in Syria that, you know, with all due respect, we started over decades. So they're actually physically, you know, taking care of this, you know, this radical Islamic threat. They're getting their name dragged through the mud with the collusion crap. And now all of a sudden they're being attributed to all these assassinations around the world to these individuals who happen to be Russian connected. Yeah, it's other... There's bad factions in Russia, but to blame the entire federation that's trying to get on its feet is really dangerous, and it gets real hard to decipher because technically they are Russian.
And right before the Putin election, they do something in the Russian factions to embarrass Putin.
Absolutely.
And then they leave a trail so the British MI6, famously corrupt, can wave that in front of Trump and make him blame Russia.
Absolutely. Get us involved in a major real kinetic conflict that will stifle and stop all the progress that we're making globally and give them cover to, you know, do other things behind the scenes from a deep state level.
So that's the globalist end game, is start a bigger war to derail America coming back.
That's their last big blow. That's all they got here. Their funding's drying up. They have to pull out all the stops. They're going to go for broke. And, you know, this is pretty good cover for them to try to just buy time, because that's all they got, because they are hurtling toward the inevitable. They're done. They're going to be prosecuted. The money's gone. But if they can't somehow get us into a war with Russia, make no mistake, it will be a distractory enough event to, you know, provide some cover and just buy them time.
Let's talk about that. How do we stop the globalists triggering a war with Russia with Zach on the other side? Couldn't be a more important topic, and Leanne's coming in. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach is a former Army Special Operations officer, patriot that still works in the areas of clandestine industry and the government, and he's a great source. We have had so many things he breaks down here on air end up coming true or unfolding. A lot of what he talks about dovetails with the QAnon, but my other sources in the Pentagon and other areas, they're saying the same things. It's just that, Zach, you get to hear from somebody who's got that same understanding and mindset to give you that best thinking perspective. So now you've got this former GRU colonel out of Russian intelligence who's been in the UK over a decade. He ends up with his daughter getting nerve gassed out on a porch outside of a little shop, a little five and dime grocery store. They get found. They get taken in critical condition. Then we hear, within days, it's the Russians. They did it. And Zach's saying the intel he's got is that there's a trail back to Russia to make it look like that. Well, Russia's 160, 170 million people. It's three times geographically the size of the U.S. Just like Soros spends billions trying to overthrow Russia, 80% of the Russian bots, which are still small compared to other bots, were just, that's how you get around campaign finance law. You go spend money in a foreign country, and then you affect the election. There were hundreds of countries that had bots, and most of it was for Hillary. You remember during the campaign, Hillary was being shoveled down your throat. Conservatives were getting blocked and all the rest of it. So then 600,000 Twitter users that ever had a Russian bot post on their page, you know, just a comment, you're now a Russian agent. So Zach was getting into the attempts by the globalists, by the leftist stay behind networks to trigger a war with Russia. It's all they've got left with their networks drying up. So we've got 7 minutes left before we go to break. Come back with Leanne McAdoo. Recap all that critical information, Zach, and then roll through it any other points.
Yes, you know, and basically what's going on, I mean, it's not hard to figure out. And I know that the White House knows this just due to the collusion fiasco. You know, they're drawing all these things that there's nothing there. They know there's nothing there. So when Russia's being persecuted for all these issues, it's not too hard to tell that this is ridiculous and it's along the same thinking as the same people. We can't blame the entire Russian Federation for the actions of rogue deep state actors who happen to be Russian. And obviously our intel communities know this, and the White House obviously knows this. There's some things out here for public consumption that are going on, but Trump knows what's going on, and eventually, you know, Trump and Putin will get along, and this will all work out, I'm sure of. But, you know, when you start doing things like this, things escalate very quickly, so we do have to keep an eye on it. But this is all meant to give them cover and just buy them time. All while, in that speech at Miramar, Trump also, while talking to the Marines, spoke about the Space Force. So this is what they're trying to stifle, because this is the big... This
and
is
by the way, you said that months ago. You said Trump's going to announce big stuff in space, and that's on record.
This is it. This is the future. In that speech at Miramar, Trump announced the Space Force to be created. You know, he says in the speech, we're going to make Colonel John Glenn proud. He speaks of going to Mars very soon as well. Then he emphasized that we would be doing none of this if Hillary Clinton had even won, because they do not want there to be a multiplanetary future that's human-based. You know, that's more ground for them to cover.
And by the way, that's what Musk and others have said. That's what I've said decades ago. The globalists want a transhumanist into our life form, merging with machines, total power trip. And Trump and this whole movement is just about having a human future. Doesn't mean Trump's perfect, but this is a pragmatic, pro-capitalist human future where humans get to decide what they want to do with their own personal evolution.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of this information started to come out now. Under the past administrations, space exploration was completely just dampered and just, you know, handcuffed for obvious reasons. They got to keep us fighting at each other's necks. They got to play the race card, because there's only one race that matters once you go multiplanetary, and that's the human race. That's really hard to fight against each other if you realize we're all of the same blood type. We're all of the same blood. We're all of the same.
And there's unlimited space, unlimited resources.
You go multiplanetary, the race car gets thrown right out the window, because we have to, you know, broaden our horizons, really start thinking outside of the box. And they know that. And that's just something that happens immediately when we leave this planet and go to the moon and set up bases, and go to Mars and set up bases. And this is not conspiratorial. This is Elon Musk just a week ago.
This is a fact. They put out their leftist conspiracy theory that space travel doesn't happen. It's got to all be robot. Let's talk about these new systems they discovered.
Absolutely. So, you know, Thomas Zurbuchen, the NASA science mission director, comes out with the TRAPPIST-1 system, the discovery of it. They're looking at it. And what the TRAPPIST-1 system is a group of seven planets with atmospheres much like our own. And, you know, he explains that finding a second Earth is not a question of if, but when. And this is the working theory. This is what we're going towards. But it's specifically at the helm of it. This is going to be a pro-human expansion. This is going to be a pro-human exploration. And, you know, the Silicon Valley sultans can't stand this in real time, as Trump is telling the troops that we're going to have a space force, as we're having...
Because they want a total monopoly here on Earth with us into their forced reality, into their false reality to play God. They don't want the big expansion. And people say, oh, it's impossible. Folks, we're already 99% there with the technology we've got. Well, look how far we've already come. We're unstoppable. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the same time, Trump's laying this all out with his National Space Council and in speaking to the Marines. Elon Musk is in the ATX in Austin there in your backyard, speaking at South by Southwest, supporting and reaffirming what the president is laying out, because of course, they're working closely together via the DOD. And Elon laid it all out for the world to hear, specifically the anti-humanity Silicon Valley sultans and the globalists. He loudly emphasized that human civilizations are coming to the moon. Human civilizations are coming to Mars. And, you know, he speaks in straightforward terms and warns of the AI. He says it. I mean, if people haven't watched that speech that happened about a week ago, they need to watch it. He says he is as close to it as anybody, and it scares the hell out of him. He says the advent of AI is more dangerous than nuclear warheads by leaps and bounds, without question. And he calls on President Trump to form a human public panel to oversee all of it. He says it's much more than the nuclear weapons. We have people overseeing all the nuclear weapons, of course. We have to have a human.
And that's what I've always been saying, is we need a human preservation defense league. And we have to, because the globalists, again, are such human haters, they believe they're going to become this new alien. And the media always says, oh, Jones claims that Silicon Valley are aliens. No, they all say that they believe they're going to become these transcendent gods. This is their weird satanic religion. And it's so good to suddenly see this all over the news. But I'm not bragging, but I've been warning everyone for 20 years, reading what the globalists were saying and doing. And I'm just wondering, when you were in the military a decade ago or so, I mean, were people talking about this then? How is it all suddenly everything we talk about is now the front page?
Yeah, I mean, it's been going on. It's been planned for quite some years. It's been stifled and kind of held back because people didn't want this to happen. But now that Trump's in the White House, it's all really coming to fruition and it's coming out. And, you know, it's inevitable and it's going to happen if we're not sabotaged. And Trump's doing everything in his power not to allow us to be sabotaged. While he's addressing the Marines and letting them know that we're going to the stars, you have Elon Musk at South by Southwest saying the advent of digital superintelligence must be symbiotic with humanity. It must be symbiotic with humanity. He emphasizes over and over and over. Then he calls on entrepreneurs to support him because they're going to need industry and infrastructure on the moon and Mars in the future. This is the push for the future, and this is what they're trying to suppress because they have a real problem with interpersonal affairs playing the race card when we leave this planet, because we are all of one race.
Sure, and if you look at everything the globalists do, splitting men and women, splitting people because of color, it's all like it's an alien force. The globalists sabotaging anything we're going to do because they think, oh, investment in space takes away from us. No, it's a non-zero-sum game. You create, all of our new economies came out of the space race. The whole new system has to come from off-world investment. That's what we've got to do. That's what creates the new economy.
Absolutely, and this is the future. It's just incredible to witness this all. We're actually living in it. We're a part of it, and to be caught up and to just be just held down and have an anchor around our ankles with just internal conflicts that are fabricated is ridiculous. And Trump's calling them out, and with the shuffle going on, the diplomatic flanking of the CIA director, the State Department, Guantanamo Bay, our foreign allies, really doing everything, we are allowing ourselves to unshackle from those binds and really go to the stars, because it's inevitable.
That's right. Well, it's better to destroy ourselves, and the globalists are a breakaway civilization, siphoning everything off for themselves to do this. They don't want this for everybody. Amazing, Zach. Thank you for the time. Look forward to having you here in person very soon and releasing your identity to folks.
Some of Zach's, to me, some of his most important things is talking about the deep state players, actors in the Soviet Union, Russia. That's what it's known by now, that are involved in perhaps some of the hacking that Russia is being accused of on a formal basis. But, you can go back in to thesecrettruth.com and play back this over and over again if you'd like to play back any part of it. But coming in next, we also have a Roger Stone report coming out of the war room with Owen Strawyer. And they're going to talk about Tillerson and his removal and so forth. That's coming up next right now, so listen to that.
So someone's leaking. You know, that's one thing that we always forget, Roger, when we get these developments from the New York Times or Washington Post. Someone's obviously leaking. I mean, there's someone inside Mueller's special counsel that's leaking every day.
Well, first of all, Owen, with all due respect, I'm going to take exception to your characterization of Maggie Haberman. I found her to be a relatively fair and open-minded reporter. I can't say that for everyone at the New York Times and many other of the mainstream media organizations. That said, this is a very significant development. Now, we know that previously, under the old special counsel law, Robert Mueller would need the approval of a three-judge panel to change the focus of his inquiry to a new matter. Now, for reasons that are not even required by law, he is receiving the approval of the acting attorney general in this matter, Rod Rosenstein, when he expands his probe. Talk about the fox guarding the hen house. Rod Rosenstein is the man who approved the use of the phony dossier for the surveillance of Donald Trump. In fact, Rod Rosenstein is the man who appointed Robert Mueller to begin with, despite the fact that there was no evidence of a crime. Now Mr. Mueller and Mr. Rosenstein are out in search of a crime. And very clearly, By subpoenaing the records of the Trump Organization, Mueller is crossing a line that the president has drawn in the sand. The president was quoted earlier as saying that he would not tolerate a probe of his businesses prior to his election as president. So, are we set for a giant confrontation? Is the Friday night or even Saturday night massacre about to take place? It's hard to say, Owen. I am one of those who urges the president not to fire Mr. Mueller. Not that Mr. Mueller hasn't done things that might merit a termination. Not that his appointment is hopelessly conflicted given his relationship with the Clintons and his relationship with Mr. Rosenstein. But it would be far better for the president to order Jeff Sessions, order him to appoint a special counsel in the matter of Uranium One and the FBI disclosures. That special counsel would in turn have to look at Mr. Mueller, Mr. Comey, Mr. McCabe, soon to be indicted, and Mr. Rosenstein. How can those under investigation be investigating the president? This is what should transpire, in my opinion. Now, the bad news about Mr. Fix-It, Andrew McCabe, being forced out at the FBI, is that he is the linchpin of the entire fake dossier scandal. We know from the FBI text messages that the so-called insurance policy against Trump's election was hatched in, quote, Andy's office. Finally, we are getting to the point where the American people are so tired of the Russian cover story of the WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, Donnie Jr., the woman Russian lawyer. It's all nonsense, continuing to be regurgitated over and over again by a crazy, hysterical, left-wing lynch mob. Facts and evidence no longer matter. Pure accusation. Somebody said that you took a crap in the woods, therefore it must be true. We need no further evidence. This is the new journalism where evidence and proof are no longer matter and merely simple, faceless, nameless, anonymous assertions and accusations are the new standard.
Yeah, news fueled by feelings and emotion instead of neutral facts and real situations that's going on. That's where we've come. It's incredible that that's where we are now. But, you know, this Mueller subpoena of the Trump Organization that looks like it could be the new Mexican standoff, if you will, it comes on the heels, of course, of the House Intelligence Committee. Of course, the Democrats are saying that this is fake news, but the House Intelligence Committee just releases their report. I forget how long the report was, a very long report. The Senate Intelligence Committee will release theirs yet next, saying no collusion found. There was no collusion with Trump and Russia. There's nothing there. But now Mueller, if either to bring wind back into the sails of the Russian collusion narrative or to really try to create a situation here where Trump says no, and then they can say, oh, well, clearly he must be guilty. He's not letting us investigate. I think that that's the angle that Mueller's going down. But what do you expect the Democrats to do shortly, Roger, before the next segment? I mean, they're going to deny it. They're going to continue to put out their fake news.
Point at me and say we didn't get enough hours to question him behind closed doors. My testimony was 100% truthful, as were the documents that I sent them. They have nothing. But now, having made me testify in private, they want to lie about it.
All right, we'll be right back with more and Roger Stone on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
And there you have the axe work of the incomparable Keith Richards kicking it with the Rolling Stones. So if you were paying attention here at InfoWars last year, we told you about the woman, Fiona Hill, who had emerged as a top deputy to Trump National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. We already laid out for you General McMaster's ties to a nonprofit financed by the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and yes, George Soros. And then we zeroed in on Fiona Hill, who actually can be tied directly to George Soros's Open Society Institute. What would a George Soros operative be doing working inside the Trump White House? Well, now it can be revealed. Several media outlets this morning report, as we said at InfoWars at the turn of the year, the H.R. McMaster's discussions and communications with Susan Rice, the Barack Obama National Security Advisor, and McMaster's publicly clearing Rice in the so-called unmasking scandal infuriated President Donald Trump. It can now be reported exclusively that Fiona Hill is the operative who facilitated the conversations between Rice, the veteran Obama advisor, and McMaster. Now, we reported here at InfoWars about McMaster's sloppy dinner with the IT CEO, Sophia Katz of Oracle, where McMaster got inebriated and then dumped on the intellectual capacity of his boss, President Donald Trump, an act of extraordinary disloyalty. Now we can report McMaster is on his last legs. The question is, will the president, as he did in the case of the choice of his economic advisor, do the right thing and choose someone who's in line with his anti-interventionist, non-deep state goals? Or will he be lulled by his son-in-law and his daughter and others into appointing another courtier who claims to support the Trump agenda, but who is indeed, like McMaster, a dedicated globalist? Once again, we can roll to this tape and show you how it was we here at InfoWars who gave you tomorrow's news then.
We revealed the fact that George Soros has infiltrated the Trump White House with one of his own. In fact, a woman named Fiona Hill, now working for the National Security Council, served in his as an advisor to his Open Society Institute, which is the mechanism that George Soros uses to overthrow foreign governments. You see, the Hungarian government has seen the track record of the Open Society Institute in other countries, and they are moving to call it what it is, not a benign nonprofit, but a criminal enterprise that seeks to destabilize and overturn the democratically elected government of Hungary. And this woman, Fiona Hill, improbably working for the Trump administration, served in the as an advisor to the Open Society Institute for 7 years. She has a lifetime membership in the Council on Foreign Relations. She is a Harvard graduate. Does this sound like somebody who should be serving in the Trump White House?
And there you have it. I mean, I think we get right to the point. We have been on top of this story, and we will stay on top of it. The real question now, Owen, is who will take McMaster's place? I believe that his fate is sealed. I think he will be gone soon.
That's quite an insight. Roger Stone has been friends with Trump, President Trump, for well over 40 years. But what my opinion, in my opinion, what happened is that they hustled him, the neocons and all these insiders and deep state people that he was not fully aware of went in there and hustled him and got in key positions, people that brought others, you could say, globalists in. And eventually he was surrounded by globalists and neocons, and he had a lot of people from Goldman Sachs. Of course, they're going to be globalists. He had Council on Foreign Relations, globalist, and he had all kinds of other people that were, you know, sleepers in there. And he's finally getting rid of some of these people. And so it's taken a while. Coming up next is Ben Shapiro. And, boy, he does a job on Hillary. And she was in India, recent travel to India, and she's made some very, 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 very weird and very, very off-the-wall remarks. But here's Hillary and Ben Shapiro and his opinion of what happened out there.
Hillary Clinton was tripping all over herself yesterday. I mean, not just verbally, like actually physically. Clip 14 yesterday, she was actually coming down the stairs. She was in India, and she slipped not once, but twice coming down the stairs. She obviously, I mean, she is less stable on her feet than my grandmother. My grandmother has 20 years on her. Here's Hillary Clinton dressed in a muumuu coming down the stairs in India.
much.
Wearing, looks like a hospital patient. Here she comes down the stairs. And up. And down goes Hillary. Down goes Hillary. Our Costello impersonation. All right, here she up. And down goes Hillary again. It's like Joe Frazier Foreman. Up, and there goes her shoe. Her shoe. Both shoes are gone. Now she's walking barefoot. Now she's going, and she's got two people supporting her. My favorite part of that video, if you run it back, is that I believe it's Huma Abedin behind her. And Huma Abedin does not even react. Right? Huma's like, oh, yeah, Hillary does this all the time. Remember when we were told that Hillary was perfectly healthy and all was well? No one else, for people who are saying that the stairs were slippery, first of all, Slippery Stairs is a great Japanese show, but has nothing to do with this, but I just felt like making the reference. But second of all, I think that it is worth noting that no one else who is walking down these stairs is slipping, except for Hillary, who slips twice and then kicks off her shoes. Yeah, but everybody who asked about her health was totally crazy in the last election cycle. That wasn't the worst slipping down the stairs for Hillary. The worst slipping down the stairs for Hillary came yesterday during an interview on India Today, in which she slandered poor people and people in red states, as well as other women. Now, for those who can't see, Hillary is actually apparently wearing Steve Urkel's pants in this interview. So she's sitting there talking about why she lost and going, did I lose that? So here's Hillary Clinton talking about why people voted for Trump instead of for Her Majesty.
If you look at the map of the United States, there's all that red in the middle where Trump won. Now, I win the coasts. I win, you know, Illinois and Minnesota, places like that. But what the map doesn't show you is that I won the places that represent two-thirds of America's gross domestic product.
There for a second before we go further. So first of all, that is the stupidest argument ever, right? She's now arguing that basically there should be a per capita GDP rating on whether your votes count. So not on earning, because the fact is that if you're a higher earner, you voted Republican. On average, Trump voters were slightly wealthier than Hillary voters. But she's saying if you're from a high-earning area, then we should vote for you. So this is the difference between Trump voters and Hillary voters. There are a lot of rich Trump voters, but they live out in the hinterlands. They live in Texas. They live in Montana. They live out in a bunch of places that are not particularly high earning as a generality. A lot of Hillary voters are people who are not necessarily rich, but they do live in high earning areas like Manhattan or Los Angeles or Seattle, big cities, because Hillary's voting base tends to be more urban. Urban there is not a euphemism for black, by the way. Her voting base tends to be significantly more city-based than Trump's voting base. But that's a crazy concept, what she just said there, right? When she says that my votes are more valuable because they come from areas that earn more. Funny, when Mitt Romney said sort of the same thing in 2012, people shellacked him for it, but the left is sort of letting Hillary go on this one to a certain extent. That was not the worst thing that Hillary said. So Hillary starts off by saying, listen, the places I won are the more important places, right? I won the places where all the money is. And then people wondered why people thought that she was a tool of like Goldman Sachs and Wall Street. Maybe it's because she's openly saying she's a tool of Goldman Sachs and Wall Street. Then it gets even worse. She starts labeling the people. She says the people who live in high income areas, these are better people than the people who voted for Trump. People who voted for me are better human beings than people who voted for Trump. Sort of an amazing contention, but here she goes.
So I won the places that are optimistic, diverse, dynamic, moving forward. And his whole campaign, Make America Great Again, was looking backwards. You know, you didn't like black people getting rights. You don't like women, you know, getting jobs. You don't want to, you know, see that Indian American succeeding more than you are. Whatever your problem is, I'm going to solve it.
So Hillary, you see, Hillary's voters were just superior humans. Now, this is one of the reasons she lost the election. When you call half the voting American public deplorable, turns out they think that you're kind of a jerk. Hillary was the worst candidate in American history, and she proves it every single day. I just hope that Hillary continues to be on the public stage and Democrats are forced to defend her. I'd love to see Tom Perez, the head of the DNC, be forced to answer questions about Hillary's perspective on the American voter. But that's an amazing contrast she's drawn. And here's why Democrats, if they take this to heart, are going to lose. Because their view is that the people who voted for Hillary Clinton are superior, better humans than the people who voted for Donald Trump. They actually believe that the folks who pulled the trigger for Hillary are more optimistic and diverse and dynamic and moving forward, even though there's no evidence that they're more optimistic, right? Maybe more racially diverse. I mean, her coalition was more racially diverse than Trump's, but so what? And dynamic, moving forward, what does that even mean? That they wanted more socialistic government? She won the places that are more optimistic. But the people from the other side, those terrible, terrible people, they're just garbage. When Democrats say this, when they believe this, What it means is they're going to double down on the good people, right? They're going to double down on the optimistic, diverse, dynamic, moving forward people, which means the intersectional coalition. They're going to keep ignoring the people who voted in Ohio and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. They're going to keep just saying that those people are bad people, which is why they voted for Trump. And maybe if you insult them enough, they'll vote for you, Hillary. Maybe if you insult them enough, Democrats, they'll vote for you. Maybe if you tell them that they're beneficiaries of white privilege who are looking backwards, then suddenly they will resonate to your cause. But somehow I doubt it. That last line that Trump's whole pitch, and it worked with these people, was you don't like black people getting rights. Name anything Trump said during the campaign or ever, as far as I'm aware, in which he said he wanted black people's rights removed. And don't give me voter ID. That's not a right. OK, everyone uses voter ID in states all over the country. We use ID to buy alcohol. We use ID for lots of stuff. That's not a racist policy. He says, you don't like women getting jobs. When did Trump ever say he didn't like women getting jobs? He said, I don't want this woman getting this job. He doesn't want Hillary Clinton becoming president. But women getting jobs, I mean, Trump's relatively famous for his daughter being a pretty successful businesswoman, right? Ivanka is a very successful businesswoman. He doesn't seem to have a lot of trouble with that. I have a lot of problems with Trump, but these are not the problems. Black people getting rights is a problem for Trump. You don't like women getting jobs. You don't want to see that Indian American succeeding more than you are. Who does she think is the United Nations ambassador? The ambassador to the UN from the United States is Nikki Haley, an Indian American. In the two states that have had Indian American governors are North Carolina, Nikki Haley, and Louisiana with Bobby Jindal. Both of them voted for Trump in the last election cycle. I mean, it was Joe Biden, not Donald Trump, who was making jokes about Apu-style Indian people at 7-Eleven. And this is all nonsense. And it's very helpful for Democrats because, again, they want to portray themselves as the better people than the rest of us. Over at 538, actually, it was Vox.com. They had a whole article about how Trump voters are more racist than Hillary voters, ignoring, of course, the fact that a lot of Hillary voters are racist in reverse fashion, that when you spend an entire campaign talking about white privilege and how America is terrible and how white people have victimized black people all across America and continue to do so, when you do that, that tends to veer into racism very, very quickly. And it tends to veer into a sneering, snide, nasty, looking down your nose at all of these Americans, this sort of paternalistic view of these stupid people who live in the middle of the country. This is why Hillary Clinton lost. And then she continued along these lines. So she's looking for everyone to blame. She's now blamed pretty much everyone on earth except for herself for her election loss. She said that she blames women because married women voted for Trump. But why did married women vote for Trump? Well, they voted for Trump, of course, because they're little Tammy Wynette types, right, who stand by their man. The reason that married women voted for Trump is because married women voted like their husbands, and their husbands basically, old Bob comes down from his job at the beer factory, and comes in and gets his whooping stick, and says to his wife, honey, you better get out there and vote Trump. I'm going to hit you with the whooping stick. And this is Hillary's actual vision of how married women in the United States vote. Here's Hillary Clinton explaining.
What happened in my election is I was on the way to winning white women until former director of the FBI, Jim Comey, dropped that very ill-advised letter on October the 28th, and my numbers just went down because I heard a lot of anecdotal evidence about this. People have written about it. All of a sudden, you know, white women who were going to vote for me and, frankly, standing up to the men in their lives and the men in their workplaces were being told, she's going to jail. You know, you don't want to vote for her. You know, it's going to be terrible. You can't vote for that. So it stopped my momentum, and it decreased my vote enough because I was ahead, I was winning, and I thought I had fought my way back in the 10 days from that letter until the election. I fell a little bit short. And so I think that it was part of a historical trend that I was bucking, and then it collapsed on me.
Okay, that is not true in the slightest. Hillary Clinton, with regard to married women, won almost precisely the same percentage of the vote as Barack Obama or John McCain. Married women always vote Republican. Donald Trump won 53% of white, I believe it was 53% of white married women in the United States. Mitt Romney won 52%, and John McCain won 51%. So they won exactly the same percentage, meaning that it has very little to do with Hillary Clinton.
Well, I think Ben Shapiro really hit the nail on the head in describing Hillary. And Hillary is falling now, hurting her wrist and everything. And she's a very, very ill woman. And she needs more and more care. Coming up next, we've got about a 7-minute clip with Geraldo Rivera talking about immigration. Here we go right now. Listen to that.
Hi, Geraldo. Hi.
Live and in the flesh.
Go Cavs. Geraldo, here's a big question. Will the Attorney General of the United States... It's a terrible story.
Imagine if you were the architect or the engineer who designed that system.
Something went
so modern.
Or if your loved one were underneath all of that.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? Well, to our first story here, I mean, someone needs to be held accountable for that, right? Someone made a big mistake, and lives are going to change, and lives have been lost as a result.
Just awful.
Perhaps. Good point. But, you know, we've got former Deputy Director of the FBI, Andy McCabe, who resigned, hoping to keep his pension. His name has been all over the news. And now our Attorney General has an opportunity, and the White House has said he's a bad actor, we know he's done some things wrong, and they have until the end of today to decide whether to fire him, effectively hold him accountable. He would not receive his pension. As a result, what do you make of what should be done here? Do you let him retire, or do you hold him accountable and say, hey, you just don't get away with this?
You know, that's an interesting question, but to me, you know, I think it's so weird, the coverage of McCabe, the way it's coming down. Because if I were him, or if I were he, I don't know which is the correct English there, I'd be a lot more worried about getting a criminal defense attorney than I would about getting a pension ruling from my civil service union. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a person, apparently, who lied to the FBI about the Hillary Clinton email probe, about, the Clinton Foundation. You can do a lot of things. But the one thing you can't do is sit with a federal investigator and not tell the truth.
Tell Michael Flynn. Tell Martha Stewart.
Exactly.
Tell George Papadopoulos.
Exactly. I mean, yes, you know, he worked 22 years. He wants his pension. Everybody needs, to have security in their old age or whatever it is. But in this case, it really does seem to me that his prime concern should be whether or not he's going to go to jail.
But Geraldo, if I did 21 years in the military, and then in my 21st year, I did something deserving of a dishonorable discharge, I would not get my pension. So why should he be treated differently?
Well, it is extremely difficult to deny a pension to a person who's worked in the federal civil service
100%.
Once the pension vests.
What if you broke the law, though? What if you broke the law?
It is possible. But it is a lot more likely that he can be indicted than he can be denied his pension.
What does this message tell the American people, though, that are out there working really hard to pay his pension? Because it looks like he's getting rewarded for doing something wrong. You know what? Go home. Retire early. Retire in March. We're going to give you 2 months off before that. Go enjoy your vacations and sit at home.
I would bet, Ainsley, that he would gladly sacrifice his pension if he were given a green light, no criminal charges. You get out. You go live your life. Do whatever you're going to do. We'll never charge you. We'll give you a pass. I bet he would take that deal because he can get the pension and then be charged. And they seem to have him really by the short
ends. They got him. Yeah. So stay tuned. We'll find out if that happens by the close of business today. Meanwhile, Geraldo, you know Jamil Shaw Sr. His son was murdered by somebody who was in this country illegally. So we had him on as a guest about 90 minutes ago. And he was talking about the mayor of Oakland, California, Libby Schaaf, who a couple of weeks ago had heard that ICE might have some raids and said, hey, illegals, there she is right there, run. We had him on because he is one of the angel parents and they would like to see her prosecutor. Listen to this.
Her job is to protect the citizens, the American citizens, you know, and for her to take a stand like that, she's allowing Americans to be murdered. I mean, she has blood on her hands because she could have easily just let them go into the jail system and capture those criminals, but she allowed them to come out and then for people to be murdered. That's all on her and people like her.
And we have also heard that apparently it's not just the Angel families against the Oakland mayor, but perhaps the Department of Justice is looking into, did she obstruct justice?
Well, whether or not she obstructed justice is a finding of fact. Did she get the information that ICE was coming down through official sources and betray her official job, or did she get it informally, scuttlebutt off the street? You know, the Texas Appeals Court ruling has just come down that said the federal government is in charge of immigration. Mm-hmm. You have to do what the federal government says. That case will surely go to the Supreme Court of the United States because there are different rulings in different federal districts. So the ultimate question, remember there was that big Arizona case where the Obama administration went after Arizona because Arizona was too tough on undocumented immigration, and the federal government said ease off, and the federal government was ruled by the Supreme Court to be the primary,
to be supreme.
Right. If that logic holds, then I think they will find that California is not fulfilling its constitutional responsibility to the federal government. But that is still in the mix. What I really want people to know, and I totally get it. Every time I come out, I have to say it. I get that I'm in the minority. But there are definitely, particularly in these blue states that are very heavily populated by documented and undocumented but related people, there is a real sentiment of compassion, inclusion. They're here so long. They have law-abiding lives. Otherwise, other than their presence here, they have citizen children. The mom is,
you know. Totally get that, but we're not talking about law-abiding people in Oakland. These people were criminals. So alerting criminals.
One of the things Jamil Shaw said was, I asked him, how many people in California support being a sanctuary state? He said, I don't know anybody. He said, if they really wanted to know, they would take a poll, but they're afraid to take a poll.
Well, I think that we should take the poll, perhaps, but the biggest poll is the fact that the Democrats are winning everything everywhere, and generally speaking, because in California it's the two top vote-getters in the primary session mm-hmm. who run against each other in the finals, we're running two Democrats against two Democrats in California very often.
Well, Pennsylvania just ran two Republicans against each other.
And this could be the wave of the future. I just want people to know that there is a real divide in this country about how to approach this problem.
100%.
And I think, and I advised the president when I saw him a few weeks ago, I love the idea that this whole thing with the Dreamers, the 1.8 million Dreamers, and let the president get the wall, get the $25 billion to fund the wall. Let's build the wall. I think that will satisfy, to a certain extent, many Trump supporters. The Dreamers getting a pass and a road, however arduous, to citizenship, I think that would placate the left, and maybe we can then start with something comprehensive to figure this out.
Is the wall too tall for you, though, Harold?
The thing about the wall, and I tell the president, I joke, but the wall is 35 feet high. You know, it's a $25 billion wall, and you get a 32-foot ladder that you get for $25 at Walmart, and you beat the wall. Yeah. But if you want the wall, we'll build the wall. I think that elections have consequences, and, you know, the majority of people in the states with the electoral votes voted for Trump and the wall. They should get the damn wall.
The damn wall. All right. Geraldo, thank you very much.
Okay, good.
Well, Geraldo Rivera is finally coming around to realizing some of these things about immigration and so on. McCabe. Of course, he was fired yesterday by Sessions, Jeff Sessions. But anyway, he was lying, caught lying. The Internal Professional Committee of the FBI is the one that finally decided, recommended that. They didn't come out of Trump or anything else, so he can't be accused of this. Well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed all that. The second hour, I'm going to be talking with Tony Gosling from Bristol, England. He just got back from a tour over all the Pacific, Cook Islands and Hong Kong and Australia, New Zealand and so forth. But that's coming up for our second hour. And you can come in to thesecrettruth.com and review and replay these at your leisure and at your convenience. But thank you for listening, and we certainly do appreciate all the help and all the comments coming in. And we're going to be continuing this for the second hour, so don't go away and listen to this second hour with Tony Gosling from Bristol, England. We'll be talking about the nerve poisoning gas over there in Great Britain, and we'll talk about some of his touring and, you know, what he ran over to in the Pacific out there. I'm sure he had some very interesting comments to make. And, you know, you always run into things and learn things when you're touring the world like he has been in the last 6 months or so. But anyway, thank you for listening, and tune in to our second hour with Tony Gosling. And thank you so much, and bless everybody out there for the birthday wishes. I think I got about 150. Thank you a lot for listening and so forth.